small groups here where there's people that you're on the same page with primarily, and so that we can get up close to people that are going maybe in different directions, that we can love them. But our core encouragement and support are from people that, you know, they love Jesus. They love people. Live mission. Like, that's what we really want to be about. So that would be the first one. The second one for me is I think your conscience should just light up when you catch yourself pretending to be somebody other than who you really are. This is a sneaky one. Paul, he had a young man that he was really coaching, and he had some things to really say to young Timothy. And in 1 Timothy 4:16, he says, "Hey, Timothy, pay close attention to yourself. Know who you are. Do you know? Who are you?" And then, to your teaching. Figure out who you are. Know who you are. And from that, be real. Be authentic. Be sincere. But know who you are first. So when I'm with a group of people, and I'm really trying to fit in, I have to ask myself, okay, what's going on there? Or when I'm with a group of people, and I find myself kind of ignoring certain values that, truthfully, I know those are big to me. Ooh, that should be a real ding-ding. That there's something going on in me. There's something going on in you that is not healthy, not good. And there's something that, you know, when wives sometimes say to their husband, the husband comes home, and maybe you've heard this, "You're different when you're with those people." That should be a guardrail moment. Like, if your husband says to the wife, "You know, when you hang out with them, you're different." And that's not a good different. Like, that's a bad different. Like, there's something that's going on there. When you're with those people, you're different than the person that I know. What is that about? And I think that there's something there that we really should be paying attention to, because it's probably something going on inside of us. We're playing to an insecurity. And we're prepared to cash out a few values to save whatever that relationship is. I remember, you know, my dad saying to me, one particular day, I remember coming in, and I had a group of people that I kind of hung out with, and my dad says, "You know, when you're with them, you don't act the same way." I didn't like hearing that at all. I got pretty defensive. "What are you saying about my friends? Like, what are you saying?" "I'm just saying you're different when you're around them." And I got pretty angry, because there was something in me kind of knew Dad was right, and I didn't want to admit it, because I didn't want to let go of that friendship. When we're ready and willing to compromise, how dangerous is that? That's the second. Here's the third. I think your conscience should just fire up when you feel pressure to compromise. Now listen carefully. This is when you feel real pressure. This isn't when you actually do the behavior. This is when you feel the pressure. This is before you'd even do anything. This is just, ooh, there it is, and I want to do it. That should be a guardrail moment. That should really be indicating something to you and I before we'd move to actually doing it, and being able to be sober-minded enough to actually determine what's going on in me. And this is really subtle too. And it begins by having conversations with ourselves. You've done this. I do this. We have conversations with ourselves, don't we? We actually kind of talk through things. We go, "Well, you know, I'm not sure. Is that really wrong? Maybe that's just religious. Maybe I just need to push through." Have you ever had those kind of conversations where I'm the only one? Okay. I'm the only one. We talk ourselves almost into thinking it's probably okay. Oh, I think we really have to be careful of that. That's a guardrail. That's 2 feet away from the edge. We start to feel pressure again. This isn't us doing anything. This is just us feeling pressure. I think our conscience should speak. Ooh, be careful of this one. Okay, that's number three. Number four, I think that your conscience should just fire up when you hear yourself saying, you ever heard this from your kids? Maybe you've said this. I want to go, but I'm not going to participate. How many of you are there right now as a parent? Three of us. How many of us? Five of us. How many of us? Okay, seven. Let's try this whole thing again. How many of us are there right now? Yeah. This is a big one. I want to go, but I'm not going to participate. My son Nathan, love the guy. Dad, you know me. I do know you. I want to go. There's this party. And I said, well, okay, tell me about that. Because we'll let him go to a party. But tell me about this one. Are there going to be parents there? No. Okay, so what else is going to probably be going on there? Well, you know everybody's using. And so they'll probably be doing that there. Yeah, probably. But, Dad, I'm not going to. I said, there's not a chance in hell. I mean it. I'm going to put the guardrail down on that one. But, Dad, I don't want to talk really about this one anymore, Nate. And I can talk about this one maybe. Don't tell him I said this story maybe, but he's up at the ski retreat learning about Jesus right now with a whole good group of people up on the big white, which, by the way, is really why our student ministries is not here today, which is a great thing, eh? Like, they're up, they're just being together, sharing life together on the hill, and it's a great thing. But parents, let's be courageous here. Like, I really do believe this. That's one that's going to come at us continually. We're going to have to make a call as to what we think and what we do with that one. I want to go, but I'm not going to participate. You say, I want to go, but I'm not going to fill in the blank. What is it for you? And that should really be a wake-up call. Solomon says, a companion of fools suffers harm, because when the fool suffers harm, you're just too close to them to avoid the hit. You just don't know when somebody that you're hanging with is going to get busted. You just don't know when you get into a car and somebody's a little bit too drunk. You just don't know if somebody says something that you're associated with and it's not good, but then you get associated with it and your rep is now in the toilet. You just don't know if you're going to do a deal business-wise, whatever, financially, and it goes south, but you just don't know when that's going to take you down. You don't know. Solomon says, if that's your primary group of people that you do friendship with, be careful because you're really going to get hurt. Fifth and last, your conscience should really fire up when you hope the people you care for the most, the people you love, don't find out where you've been or who you've been with. This isn't because you've done anything really wrong that you have to defend yourself for. That's the cliff. This is before the cliff. This is now you're heading towards something. And there's a tension. There's a tightness. And you start to already figure out your defensive line, if asked. You don't want them to ask. But if they do, you've already kind of got thoughts about how it is that you're going to explain where you've been or who you've been with. That to me, should be a guardrail. Now, other than the fact that it's really quiet in here, I just want to say, I think this is reality for all of us. And I do believe that there's something that would be really good for each of us personally, to really think through. What is my personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience in the area of friendship and relationship? Where do you want to put that? Because I think you should put it somewhere. Choose what it is that meets you in the way that God is leading you. But I do think that there's something there that would really, really be helpful. But it's really, really hard to do. In the area of friendship, it's very complicated, and that's why a lot of people don't do it. I mean, it really is. And here's the thing I want to address now, because you might be saying, well, that doesn't sound very compassionate, Mike. Now listen carefully. You need to know. You have to know. You know, the foundation of this church has always been open to any and all. As banged up as people are, we've always wanted to be a safe place. And so you find yourself here and you're banged up. See, we've always believed that we should come alongside of people and love them and be compassionate to them. But please listen. Never confuse compassion with wisdom. And this happens a lot. There's a real confusion that can take place. Because compassion, we feel things. We feel the hurt. We feel the brokenness of the individual that we love and we care for. But we just have to really, really be careful that we don't confuse compassion with God's wisdom in the way that we do our life. Because if we do, and that becomes an excuse, we end up actually lying to ourselves. There's a lot of confusion in our culture about misguided compassion. And you may even find yourself this morning saying, you know, Mike, I hear what you're saying, and I think that that's true, but I love this person. But I love this group of people. You know, and absolutely, but here's God's will for you, and here's God's will for me. The best thing I think that we can do for people that we love is to live wisely. The best thing that we can do for people that we care about and long for and want to be okay is to live wisely. We have got to stay on the other side of the guardrail, because if they do crash, so that we're healthy enough that we can actually climb down and get them. And I really, you know, thought hard and long about this, because as a church, we want to love everyone. What we're talking about here today is just a principle that God has set before us, and that is, if you walk with the wise, you'll become wise. If you're a companion of fools, you're going to suffer harm. And so when we think about what it is that God really wants from us, I mean, wouldn't he want for you and I to be healthy enough that we can come alongside people that have gone off the edge, so that we can give them extraordinary compassion, extraordinary help, extraordinary insight, extraordinary wisdom? But we can't confuse compassion with wisdom. So drawing back from a relationship might be the most compassionate thing that we do. If we find that there's some bells and whistles going off in our minds as to the impact that that friendship is having on your life, it might be the most compassionate thing you do. Stay in relationship with, pray for, be in touch with, but just, that can't be your main group, your main set of people that you hang with, I don't believe. Last week we looked at a verse that said, let's face up to what we know God's will is. And I really do believe that his Spirit can speak to people. I believe that he wants to speak to you. We took a few moments of just quiet last week where I asked the question, you know, if there was an area in your life where you needed to just really pay attention to, maybe you've been just dancing so close to the edge, and you never really thought about setting a guardrail that would keep you a couple feet from there. What area of life would that be for you? The question today I'd like to ask would be simply this. What is God really even whispering to you now? When you think about relationship guardrails, what would that be for you? What is God saying? Will you obey? Would you? There's something really important, I think, about understanding the heart of our God, because he loves you. And Jesus loves every person that may not be living well. We have to believe that. We have to know that. But there is something that the Lord does ask of us, and that is, walk wisely. And the truth is that really it all begins, doesn't it? Wisdom really does begin, it tells us in Proverbs 1:7. It begins with us knowing Jesus. That's where really wisdom begins, when we know Jesus. And what we know about Jesus, he invites us, get this, into friendship. He invites you and I into friendship. And so we're invited into, alongside Jesus, to have this friendship, this relationship, where he wants us to become more like him, wise. So that once we understand how it is that Jesus lived out his life, that we would do likewise. That we would really carry the love of Jesus to the people around us. That we would live wisely. That we would live compassionately. That we would get more comfortable than we are right now with being uncomfortable, engaging in some of the brokenness around us too. Reflecting the love of Jesus. Again, the question I want to ask us this morning is just, what is God saying to you about relational guardrails? And will you obey? It's an important area of life. I want to invite the worship team to come on up in the communion servers. We want to reflect on the gift that Jesus has given to us. When we think about friendship, let me just remind all of us as to what really took place. Jesus, so motivated that he left heaven and he became one of us. Jesus became like you and I. He became a human being. He stepped out of heaven and all of the perks that that would have had. And he becomes one of us. He becomes poor. He becomes a carpenter. He hits his thumbnail with a hammer. He scrapes up himself. He's been rejected by people, friends that turn their back on him. But he came down so motivated, so unbelievably willing to be our friend and inviting us to that. And further, pays the price, substitutes what you and I actually needed to pay by way of sin cost. Jesus says, I'll do that. I'll take that. Really love you. Really want a friendship with you. I've come down. I've become like you. I'll pay the bill. They'll kill me. They'll lay me on a cross. They'll break my body. And then this beautiful thing is this invitation. Won't you come? Like, won't you come and be in relationship with me? Not just doing rituals. Really friendship, like walk with me. And Jesus talked about this all over a meal. And if we had it our way today, wouldn't it be great if we were all around tables just enjoying a great lunch? And someone would pause, myself or someone else, and we'd just say, hey, by the way, you remember when Jesus talked about his life and his story? And he says, there's coming a day when they're going to take and kill me and it's going to be a bad day. Every now and then, take a piece of bread, break it. Remember what I did. And you're going to have something to drink. When you drink that, just remember, I just gave my blood for the payment so that we could be friends. It's all the Lord's Supper really is. It's his supper. It's not ours. It's his. So if you're here today, and you've just sensed God saying some things, I want to invite you to come to his table. The if you've heard Jesus say some things to you, I want to invite you to, wherever you're at, to just step out from your chair and take a piece of bread, remembering what he allowed himself to be put through, just dip it in the cup, and just say, wow, you invite me into friendship. Thank you. And you need it. And it touches your heart. It's supposed to. So would you stand with me? Father in heaven, thank you for being so motivated. You've invited us into friendship with you. You're a good dad. And you've set some guardrails for us. And this one short little verse, I pray, God, that we would really believe it to be true. When you say, if we hang with the wise, we become wise. If we hang with the fools, we're going to get hurt. Lord, may we be kids that follow well good Heavenly Father advice. And now as we just come to your table, Lord, would you do something of a work in our heart as we just say thank you for providing friendship and relationship and forgiveness, that we could be free. For every person here in this room, I pray, God, that this is their heart, that they would just really be touched by coming and just kind of remembering goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.